Friends, our scripture reading for today is a very familiar and very beloved passage, Psalm 100. And because this is such a short psalm, we'll be reading the scripture in its entirety, all 5 verses of it. Now, I understand that back in the day, this was a psalm that many people, including people who went to public schools, would memorize when they were school children. And so I know it is a very familiar psalm to many of you. But in spite of this psalm's familiarity, scholars don't know very much about the context of today's passage, although because they're scholars and they get paid to do this, they have their guesses. And so when scholars look at Psalm 100, they think that it's maybe similar to what we do here in this church for a gathering verse. This here is the music that God's people, the Israelites, would sing before they came into the temple to start praising and worshiping God. Now, all that aside, the thing that I think is the most important about Psalm 100 is that it is a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, there are many psalms throughout the Psalter that give thanks to God, dozens, if not maybe up to 100 psalms that give thanksgiving to God, but this is the only psalm that begins with the words, a psalm of thanksgiving. And so that is why we are reading this psalm today in our series on gratitude. And while I'm reading it, I have a special challenge for all of you to make sure that you're paying attention as I read it. I want you to pay attention to the number of imperative verbs that are in this psalm. Now, in case you think it's a little unfair that I'm throwing grammar terms at you at 9:30 a.m. in the morning, here's a quick refresher by what I mean by imperative verbs. Imperative verbs are verbs of command. They are when someone is telling someone else to do something. So this is like a captain giving orders to his soldiers, or a teacher giving instruction to her students, or a parent trying to corral all her children together. Those are imperative verbs. And here in today's passage, we have imperative verbs that are coming from the psalmist, perhaps as a worship leader, telling us the different ways that we can give thanks to God. So pay attention to the number of command words here. There will be a quiz later on in the sermon. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Friends, indeed, our God is still speaking. Alleluia. Amen. Would you please join me in prayer? Dear God, I give you thanks for this opportunity to preach what I hope is your word for these your people. God, in these moments, I ask that you might speak through me, but if necessary, I ask you to speak in spite of me. Put me behind the cross, Lord, so that all we may see is you and your glory. God, give us eyes to see the everyday blessings that you have given us, and help us to live in a way that reflect those blessings to the world around us. We pray all this in the name of the ultimate blessing, our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So friends, if you have been with us for the past few weeks, you know that we are about halfway through a sermon series called Grateful, From Attitude to Action. And we started off this sermon series with a very common idea that gratitude is something that you feel in your heart as an individual. And then over the course of this sermon series, we're going to move toward a new way of thinking about gratitude, namely that gratitude is something that we do as the church, as a community of faith. It is something we act upon. And we are moving in this way because we truly believe that gratitude is something that changes not only us as individuals, but it has the potential to change our community and our wider world. So in her first sermon, Reverend Jenny talked about this movement. In her second sermon, she talked about those feelings of individual gratitude. And last week, she challenged us to think about habits of gratitude. What do we do to show gratitude? And she gave us a very challenging take-home application, trying to look people in the eye when we say thank you to them. Not just our family members, y'all, but also the people who serve us at Starbucks or when we go out to eat. How can we really show our gratitude to them by looking them in the eye? And so today, friends, I want to continue with this theme of habits of gratitude, because I think it's not only the case that our actions of gratitude flow from feelings of gratitude, I also think it's true to say that oftentimes these actions of gratitude can reinforce a feeling of gratitude within our own hearts. Now, this is something that I feel is very important for us as Americans living in the 21st century, because when you consider your life, you may be like me and you may look at your life and realize that you have all these blessings, so many things that you have received, so many abundance. But when you look at the world around you, when you look at our culture, it seems as if people are not living out of a spirit of gratitude. Instead, for the most part, people seem to be living out of a spirit of entitlement. Now, what is entitlement and why do I think it's a problem? Well, to put it simply, for me, entitlement is any time when you look at what you have in this life and you say, everything I have, I've earned it all on my own. I deserve to have all of this. Now, I want to be clear that there's nothing wrong with having nice things or working hard. If you're somebody who has a nice home or a nice family or you work at a nice job, that is not the problem. The problem comes when we look at our lives and we forget about all the people who have helped us along the way. When somebody forgets about their parents and their family who gave birth to them and nurtured them and raised them. When somebody forgets about their teachers who taught them so many valuable life lessons. When someone forgets about the communities of faith that raised them up. When someone forgets about the God who gave them life and blessed them and gave them graces. That is living out of a spirit of entitlement. But there's also a dark side to entitlement as well. There's a flip side to it. And that is when we look at our lives and we say, whatever I don't have in this world, it is because I don't deserve it. If you don't have a nice house or a nice family or a loving relationship or a job that is meaningful to you and pays you well, it's so easy to think I have these things and I don't have these other things because I don't deserve them. I haven't worked hard enough. I'm not worthy enough. Maybe you even think I'm not worthy enough of love. And friends, if that's you today, I want to take a quick moment just to name that as a theological lie. That is not true. Because we worship a God who loves you unconditionally and whose love for you will never run out and never fail. But so often, friends, the flip side of entitlement is that feeling of worthlessness, that feeling as if I don't deserve to have nice things, and so whatever I do have, that's all I'm supposed to get. Now, if you're still not convinced that we live in a culture of entitlement, I invite you to consider the idea of the self-made man or the self-made woman. We live in a culture that I think idolizes people who go from zero to hero, from nothing to something, from pennies and dimes to billions in the Bahamas. Those are the kinds of people that we make movies about that are released at number one on the box office. Those are the type of people who grab headlines in the newspaper. Those are the kind of people that we elect to political office because so often we think self-made men and women are the best kind of women. And again, I'm not saying that having nice things or living a nice lifestyle is a problem. What I am saying is that the fact that we idolize self-made men and women, to me, is a clear sign that we live in a culture of entitlement as opposed to a culture of gratitude. Now, if I were to name the problem of entitlement spiritually, I would put it this way. Entitlement does not give you more blessings, but entitlement makes you think that you should have more blessings than you do. Entitlement makes you look at your life and say, you know, I have it good. When I look at my neighbor, I see that my neighbor has so much more than me, and I've worked hard. I deserve to have nice things. I deserve to have more than my neighbor over here. Entitlement can trick you into thinking that you have no blessings because you are so fixated on the blessings that you don't have. That is one of the biggest problems with entitlement. It doesn't actually give you more blessings. But here's the thing about gratitude. Gratitude also does not give you more blessings. Simply because you keep a gratitude journal, or you tell God what you're thankful for at the end of each day, or you say grace around a meal, none of those things will actually increase the blessings that you have. So gratitude is quite similar to entitlement. It doesn't increase the blessings you have, but it is different in one critical way. Gratitude helps you see the blessings that you already have so much more clearly. When you truly live in a spirit of gratitude, you look at what you have. You don't even pay attention to what other people have. And you think, why am I so blessed? Why do I have so many wonderful things? Hasn't God been good to me? Gratitude helps ground you in what you do have, so you don't even worry about what those around you have. But friends, how do we truly live into this spirit of gratitude? Like I said, we live in a culture that seems to be pushing us the opposite direction, pushing us toward entitlement. How can we pull our hearts and minds back to gratitude? How can we see the everyday blessings that we have? And that is where I think these habits of gratitude can truly come to our defense. These habits of gratitude can help us inculcate a spirit of gratitude in our lives. And that is why I love Psalm 100, because to me, this is a crystal clear example of the connection between actions of gratitude and an attitude of gratitude. Okay, friends, so this is the time when we have the pop quiz. So if you were reading, if you were paying attention as I was reading, I'm curious how many imperative verbs, how many command verbs did we get? You can just shout them out right quickly. Six, seven, I'm seeing eight. All right, so Jared Berman gets bonus points because he somehow found more imperative verbs in here than actually exist. But that's okay, Jared, I love it. So the people who had seven, all of y'all get gold stars for today. You can go home knowing that God loves you abundantly. And hey, if you thought that it was six or eight or some other number, guess what? Here's the consolation prize. God loves you too. It doesn't matter if you got them all right or if you got it all wrong. Our God loves all of us equally. And hey, you can also take consolation in this. I did not realize there were seven imperative verbs in here until someone else told me in a commentary I read. And so you don't have to feel badly at all. But I do think it's helpful for us to go over this passage and just focus on those verbs. And this is also helpful if you don't believe me that there's only seven. So let's go over them quickly. How many different ways can we give thanks to God? Make a joyful noise, worship the Lord, come into God's presence with singing. We're up to three so far. Number four, know that the Lord is God. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving. That's five. Give thanks to God. That is six. And bless God's name. That is seven. Seven different ways, seven different practices of gratitude that can open up our hearts and help us understand the depth of God's love for us. What I really love about this passage is that there's such a nice symmetry to it, because you see, we begin with three physical ways of showing God thanks. We can make a joyful noise to the Lord. We can worship the Lord with gladness. We can come into God's presence with singing. Those are three physical actions. There are also three physical actions at the end: coming into God's house with thanksgiving, giving thanks to God, naming our thanks, and then blessing God's name. Three physical actions at the end. And at the very middle of this passage, there's a tricky, simple, but easy to miss imperative verb. Some of y'all who said six may have missed this one. Know. What is it that we are supposed to know? Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. All of these physical actions of gratitude flow into this mental attitude of gratitude. Because when you truly give thanks to God, you know in your heart that you should be grateful to the Lord. Now, there's a very geeky part of this sermon that I am going to leave out in the spoken version, But if you want to read the full version of it, you can grab a handout on your way when you exit. I will say this much, because to me this is so cool. Your Bible is based on the Hebrew language, because that is the language in which it was originally written. And when the Hebrew Bible was transmitted from one generation to the other, sometimes somebody would make a mistake when they copied it down. And in case you think that is heretical or terrible, that somebody made a mistake when copying the Bible, think about how many typos you made this week, and you and me have autocorrect. So somebody, when they got to Psalm 100, verse 3, thought that the previous person made a mistake, and they corrected the mistake. And the correction that they made is what we have in our Bible. Know that the Lord is God, it is He that made us, and we are His. Do you want to know what the original was, what he saw in the Bible that he thought is a mistake? Because I really think this is so cool, and for me, this just blows my mind. The original version of this psalm said that, know that the Lord is God, it is He that made us, and not we ourselves. God made us. We did not make ourselves. Recently, I had a conversation with one of our Sunday schoolers. This was to get ready to put together a video that we put on our website to get people excited about this sermon series on gratitude. And I asked this Sunday schooler, do you ever say thank you to God? And he said to me, yes, I do. And I said, how do you say thank you to God? And he said to me, you know, you wouldn't be here if it weren't for God. So sometimes you just have to show God some appreciation. I loved that. That knocked me off my feet, y'all. I loved how simple and profound that was, but how that took all this wisdom, everything we're reading in Psalm 100, and boiled it down to a sentence. You would not be here if it weren't for God, so show God some appreciation. That speaks directly to our culture of entitlement. God made us. We did not make ourselves. There is no such thing as a truly self-made man or a self-made woman. All of us were made by a living and loving Lord who knit us together when we were in our mother's womb. And that means every single thing we have in this world, including our very lives, is a blessing from our God. And if we just have practices of gratitude, we will be able to see that. And so my challenge for us today is simple. I want all of us to practice saying grace before the next three meals. Now, maybe you grew up in a church or a family where you sung grace. That's what my family did. But now, as an adult, I have a different practice. I simply say, thank you, God. It's really simple. All I do before a meal is I say, dear Lord, thank you. And then I say what I'm thankful for, and maybe I ask God's blessing after it. So my challenge for all of us is over the next three meals, that's lunch, dinner this evening, and breakfast tomorrow, simply say one thing you're thankful for to God before you eat. Statistically, only half of all Americans say grace once a week. The other half don't say grace at all. So if all of us say grace three times, we have tripled the statistic around saying grace just for this week. So I challenge all of us to do that, just to say thank you to God before we take a meal. But here's something else that's really cool. We have another opportunity to say thanks to God right here, right now, as we are about to take Holy Communion. Now, many of you may have grown up in a tradition where you called communion Eucharist. And Eucharist, believe it or not, comes from a Greek word, eucharizo, which means to give thanks. And that is because Holy Communion is a way that we remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, and then we respond to God with thanksgiving. So before you even go home and say grace before your meal, all of us are going to say grace during a meal that we share together. And now there's one more really cool thing that I'm going to share with y'all, and then I'm going to be quiet so we can actually take communion. And that is this, the song that we are about to sing before we go into communion. All people that on earth do dwell, and I see some of y'all taking out your hymnals. You can take them out now if you want to look this up. All people that on earth do dwell is going to sound very familiar to you. That is because it uses the same music as our doxology, the song we sing when we take the offering. And that music is said to be to the tune of Old 100th. That is because all people that on earth do dwell is based on Psalm 100. So the psalm that we are about to sing before we give thanks to God in communion is itself based on a psalm of thanksgiving. Y'all, I just think that is so cool. We are going to give thanks to God through singing, through communion, and then by going home and giving grace. And so, friends, I hope that we can put aside this mental attitude of entitlement that makes us focus on the blessings we don't have. And I challenge all of us, like the author of Psalm 100 or that Sunday school student, to do actions of gratitude that open up our hearts so that we can see more of the everyday blessings we have in this life. Amen.